Well, good morning and welcome this morning to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord, and thank you to also those who are joining us online. Trust that you'll be blessed today as well through the singing and the preaching of God's Word. We're going to start off with a scripture from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6. Kind of a heavy passage as we are in our Bible study here, going into the tribulation period. So we're going to be reading in chapter 6 of Revelation, beginning with verse 13. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 13. Let's stand together. You follow along as I read. "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great man, and the rich man, and the chief captains, and the mighty man, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Again, a sobering passage during the midst of that seven-year period of time yet coming, known as the tribulation. All right, so we'll look into that more here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for who you are. Lord, the host of heaven does sing, "Holy, holy, holy, for indeed you are holy." Lord, I pray that as you have made us holy who have trusted Jesus, Lord, I'm sure thankful to be a saint, sure thankful to have a place being prepared for me. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be faithful in this time that we have down here on this planet. I pray that you would help us to think clearly about life, about eternity, about what you have promised is coming. And Lord, that we would align ourselves with your will, that we would give heed to your instructions. Lord, we thank you for this. We pray for our nation that you'd continue to work in this important and critical time, Lord, where we recognize the powers of darkness are fighting and there is a real battle against right and wrong. And Father, we pray that you would help God-fearing men and women across this land to stand for the right. I pray that you'd help your church, your people, to shine as the light you want us to be in this dark world. And Father, I pray that you would give wisdom and courage to our president, to our vice president. Lord, that you would continue to work in their lives and guiding them, Lord. We ask for your mercy upon our land. We pray for a fair and honest election here in a month's time, that you would work, Lord, that you'd be merciful to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in the Revelation of God series, we're coming into the beginning of the tribulation period, which is known as Daniel's 70th week, a week of years. He prophesied 70 weeks in the book of Daniel, and 69 of those weeks have clearly been fulfilled. This time, known as Jacob's trouble, is a seven-year period of time that is yet unfulfilled, yet to come. And so this tribulation is given in great detail in the book of Revelation. God takes a lot of chapters, in fact, to detail this information here for us. So we want to give our attention to that. So let's notice here in Revelation chapter 6, we'll begin with prayer. And then we'll jump in. Father, we pray that you would guide us as we seek to study your word and understand what you have in store
these things that you've encouraged us to know about and to understand. Lord, we pray your blessing on this service. We thank you for your goodness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the start of the tribulation. We have our place here in Revelation 6, but if you would just quickly go to Revelation chapter 1, the very beginning of this book, I want to remind you of the special blessing God gives to those who read and hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things that are written. Revelation chapter 1, let's begin with verse 1. The Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." These things are important, and so we want to give our attention to them as we work our way through the book of Revelation. Last week, we saw that mysterious book with an ominous message. That was in chapter 5. John here is up in heaven. He's in the Spirit. He's seeing these amazing things. He saw the worship of God around the throne. And he saw this mysterious book, a scroll, that was sealed with these seals throughout. And so the seven seals at different places so that the book could only be opened to a certain place. And then there was another seal hindering the opening of the next portion. These six of these seven seals are going to be opened in chapter 6. Six seals of seven are opened in chapter 6, and it really begins to unfold the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. The first 3.5 years, roughly speaking, of this tribulation period. So we looked at the first seal being opened, and the Lord Jesus is the only one who was found worthy to open that seal. And as he opens it here in chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says here, as John writes, he says, "I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see." These four beasts, those living creatures that honor and glorify God day and night around the throne. One of them says to John, "Hey, come and see this." And John begins to see things that happen as he looks, as it were, out of the battlements of heaven. He looks and he sees what's happening. Now, these things are prophecy. They've not yet happened. They're future. But God gives John the opportunity to see them as if they are happening. And so what does he see in verse 2? He says, "I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." So when the first seal of the scroll is broken, we find the detail here of this white horse. Now, there's a lot of symbolism here, and I believe the symbolism with the white horse is that Jesus, in the second coming, at the end of the tribulation and before the millennium, when he comes to set up his kingdom, he's going to come on a white horse in that specialness and in that majesty of a white horse. And as he comes as the Savior. He comes to rule and reign and set up his kingdom. Here we have an imposter. Many Bible scholars believe that this is indeed the Antichrist showing himself, coming on a white horse, whether literally or perhaps figuratively, but John sees this as it happens here. And it says that he had a bow, but apparently no arrows. So this seems like a peaceful, like, can we say, a mostly peaceful takeover? He moves in, and in a time of great chaos, when So many are missing, and so much upheaval has happened because of the rapture, because of all of God's people being taken out of the earth. The Holy Spirit having gone with them in the sense that he indwells every one of his followers, evil is now unrestrained. But the Antichrist comes as a savior, small s, as a messiah, small m. He comes to take over. He comes to, at least initially, bring peace. I'll notice a couple of scriptures here. Let's go to 1 John 2. Now, this just talks about the Antichrist, 1 John, so not just about a few pages back, 1 John and chapter 2. Let's notice verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Antichrist, of course, means against Christ or in the place of Christ. And so, in these last times, in these last days, here we have recorded that the Bible says Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists. In other words, there are many who oppose Christ. There are many false teachers. There are many things like that. And so, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. So there are Antichrists, but there are also the Antichrist who is going to come. Now, we were over in 2 Thessalonians last week, and let's go over there again. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Thessalonians were going through persecutions and difficulties for their faith. We saw that in chapter 1, verse 4. But as we come to chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, as he writes, wants to help the Thessalonians to understand that even though they're suffering, they're not in the tribulation. And he tells them that the day of Christ is... Let's jump in to verse 1 again of chapter 2. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand, speaking of his second coming, not the rapture, speaking of the second coming when he comes to rule, to reign, to set up his kingdom. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So here we have the Antichrist. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he's actually going to present himself as the Messiah. And this is going to happen, and Revelation will detail this later on. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Okay? So you know what's holding back the forces of darkness, that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I believe this is referring to the Holy Spirit, the one who's letting until he be taken out of the way, the one who's restraining. I told you last week, the word let means to hold back or to detain. And so, the Holy Spirit currently is restraining. Of course, God's timetable will be fulfilled, not the devil's. God is in control, not the wicked one. And even though he works in this world and does much, much wickedness, but he is restrained in a major way. And so verse 7, he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, he will restrain until he's taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Speaking of the second coming there, when Jesus comes, defeats the wicked one, and that is detailed in Revelation 19. So the wicked one will rise during the tribulation period. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So he's going to bring huge deception. People are going to believe a lie. They're going to be following the Antichrist, this imposter, this false Messiah, all right, who comes on a white horse, I believe, is where we see him entering the scene in the tribulation. Okay, so let's go back over here to Revelation 6. We'll try to make some speed here in looking at these other seals being opened. All right, so we've seen the first seal. We have, as I have put it, a flattering leader gains power. All right, he comes in conquering and to conquer. He comes with a bow, but apparently no arrows, so that's why we see that this is a mostly peaceful takeover. Okay, verse at this time it is. Now verse 3, Revelation 6. It says, and when he had opened the second seal, all right, that probably a wax seal holding the scroll, now we get to read further what is going to happen in this righteous judgment that God brings and God allows, all right? So the second seal, verse 3, I heard the second beast, so one of these other living creatures, say, come and see. And so John comes in verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. So we're in the beginning of the tribulation. We had a time of peace, or seemingly a time of peace at the beginning. The Antichrist came in as I'll help you, I'll bring, you know, we'll all this, we'll work things out, and he takes control and brings peace for a time. But now in this second seal, where we see a second horse, which is red, peace is taken from the earth, the Bible says, and that they should, middle of verse 4, that they should kill one another. So violence all across the world. And there was given unto him a great sword. All right, so this is now turning much less peaceful. And in fact, a very violent time. Murder skyrockets. Fighting ensues all around the globe. Verse 5, we see the third seal. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, the ancient method of weighing things out. You put 1 pound on the one side of the balance, you put a pound of grain or some other commodity on the other side to measure a measurement. And so this speaks of commerce. Now, this is a black horse in this third seal that brings this pair of balances. Notice also verse 6. It says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This is economic collapse. That's what's being detailed here in this third seal. We've had the Antichrist on the first seal coming in, taking over, mostly peaceful. We see on the second opening of the second seal, the scroll opens up for us, a time of great violence when peace is removed from the earth. In the opening of the third seal, we see economic collapse, where there are food shortages, where there are high prices. A penny to us, a denarion, as it is in the text here in the Greek, a denarion is a Roman silver coin. And it was actually a fair day's wage in Jesus' day. Remember, he hired, in his parable, he hired servants early in the morning to go and work in his vineyard, and he paid them a penny a day or a denarian a day. It was a fair day's wage. So let's plug that into the text here in verse 6. It says a measure of wheat. Now, how much is a measure of wheat? It's 1 liter measurement. It's basically enough for one person to live for one day. Now you have the barley, which is 3 measures for a day's wage. But you see here, and what the Bible details is a time when prices are high. That's what we see going on here. Prices are high, a whole day's wage. Now, you know, if we were to have to pay a whole day's wage to get just a little liter-sized measurement of grain, we would be spending a lot of time trying to work just to live, just to put food on the table. And that's really what's being detailed here, is an economic collapse with this black horse. There are food shortages and high prices. Now notice that the rich, it seems, it's either the rich or it maybe is referring to the nation of Israel, that they don't suffer too much right just yet. And I'll point that out. In the last part of verse 6, it says, "See thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Now the oil here really refers to olive oil, not black crude. Okay, it really refers to olive oil. That's the emphasis of the word here underlying. It's most often used for that purpose. So see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. Wine, of course, being the fruit of the vineyard. These are 2 major and common commodities in the nation of Israel. All right, this pictured the blessing of God when crops were doing well, when they had lots of oil, they had lots of wine, and this is referring not necessarily to fermented wine, but the fresh fruit of the grapes. Okay, so apparently, either Israel, because these are some of their principal commodities, Israel doesn't do bad just yet. Okay, things are going still pretty well. Or else the emphasis here is that the rich are still doing fine, which you can definitely see that that would be happening in an economic collapse. The rich, of course, would still be faring pretty well. But I believe that's what those things are meaning there as we see this third seal opened. Now we come to the fourth seal, verse 7. "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast." So this is each one of those 4 beasts has summoned John to look. And he summons him to come and see. Verse 8. "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse." The idea here of the pale horse is sickly or yellowish in color, but sickly. "And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth." So the fourth seal is opened. We see a fourth horse, this sickly horse. And the Bible says that 1/4 of earth's population is killed by 4 methods: violence, starvation, sickness, and wild animals. 1/4 of Earth's population is killed. Now, I want you to understand the magnitude of these catastrophes. We've seen the Antichrist come on the scene, bringing peace in a time of chaos. Soon, very quickly, that peace is taken. There's a huge economic collapse. Now we see a lot of death. We see a lot of violence. We see a lot of starvation. We see sickness and wild animals killing people. So this is a very intense time on planet Earth where even the animal realm is agitated to be very vicious. Now, I looked these statistics up last week, so they're a week old, but as of the looking up last week, it was just under 1 million deaths worldwide that were attributed to COVID-19. 1 million. Am I correct? That sounds about right. That's what we looked up. And 1 million deaths have been attributed, quote unquote, okay, to COVID-19. We can debate whether how accurate those numbers are and all of that, but 1 million people have died from COVID-19. In World War II, both the deaths on the U.S. side as well as on the other side, 24 million, huge amount, 24 million people died in World War II, 24 million. But at Earth's current population, one quarter of Earth's population would be 1.7 billion, not million. Not 1 million with COVID deaths, not 24 million in World War II, but 1.5 or 1.7 billion people. A lot of carnage, a lot of starvation, a lot of sickness, a lot of wild animal attacks. This is the beginning of the tribulation period. It is an ominous time, horrific. I want you to see verse 9 in the scripture here. Verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now remember, in this chapter, we're really covering 3.5 years approximately of time in the beginning of the tribulation. So, we find here, as John sees on this fifth seal, he sees souls, people, under the altar. This is apparently in heaven, these souls, and they were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. Well, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to miss the rapture, and many of those will harden their heart, as we also read just this morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We read a little bit of that passage. Don't have time to go back there, but he's going to send them a strong delusion, those who did not believe the love of the truth, right? And they will be damned. They will be just reassured in the hardness of their hearts against Christ. Okay, many people will be like that. But I want you to also see the mercy of God and see what God is telling us here, that during these first years of the tribulation period, there are going to be many people who are going to be turning to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Many people during this horrific time when there is all this catastrophe, all this economic collapse, all of the death and carnage, the violence, the sickness, the starvation, many people are going to be turning to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And John sees them under the opening of this fifth seal. God accounts souls under the altar slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These are martyrs for their faith in these first years of the tribulation. Verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So many come to Christ during this time. I want you to go forward into chapter 7. Look at verse 9. Chapter 7. And verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, if you would go down to verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Who is this multitude? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of, read it with me, great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I believe God is detailing for us here many who are saved during the tribulation and many who are martyred for their faith in the tribulation. There are going to be a countless number of people who trust Jesus as their Savior, who recognize He is the Messiah, but they will be slain. Let's understand, getting saved, being a Christian during the tribulation will be a horrific time of suffering for those Christians. Let's just flip over to Revelation 20. I want to show you this, Revelation 20 and verse number 4. Revelation 20 and verse 4, we see martyrs again. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads, for in their hands, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So we can see that there are many martyrs right in this time period. We're not just, perhaps there's some inkling here of martyrs throughout the ages, but I think the emphasis is on martyrs happening right in the tribulation. And so what an amazing thing that is for us to take in and understand many people who come to Christ. Let's go back to chapter 6 and verse 12. Chapter 6 and verse 12. "And I beheld when they had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." Okay, these are likenesses. The moon didn't become blood, but it was as blood. It was red and ominous. And the sun as well, black as sackcloth of hair. Verse 13, "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth." We have a horrific meteor shower here. "Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." Get that image there. And verse 14, "And the heaven departed as a scroll." It seemed like the heavens just were rolled up. I mean, the heavens, the heavenly bodies were just dark and black. And it was a very ominous time. Verse 14, "The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain," not just some of them, "every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens." People flee from the cities. People go into the wilderness. They run into the mountains. You can see the chaos. Verse 16, "And what did they say? They said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." There is no doubt where this tribulation is coming from. A righteous and holy God is judging a wicked and hard-hearted, rebellious people. God promises this will come, and yet amidst his judgment, we have a whole chapter following, which is chapter 7, tells us of the mercy of God during this same time. So notice verse 17. We'll just finish this chapter here. "For the great day of his wrath," speaking of God, speaking of the Lord Jesus, "for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" People are seeking death, and it seems to be elusive. The judgment that's coming from heaven. It will be a horrible time for those who have rejected the Lord. But really, when we come now to chapter 7, what we have is a parenthesis. In other words, a break in the action, And it's an overlayment of more information. You know, I remember looking through books that had clear Pauli pages sometimes, and maybe it was on the anatomy of the human body, or maybe it was a blueprint for building a house. And you put one of them down, and it was just some basic material, right? Just some basic start off. You let one of the other ones go down, and that next picture comes on top. Of course, a clear page with just some little detail that overlays. And that's what we have when we come to chapter 7, is we have an overlayment over this, really this first 3.5 period of time. We have now chapter 7 being overlaid and helping us to understand that during this time, God raises up 144,000 Jewish preachers to go around and to proclaim the gospel. And I wanted to get into this. Our time is gone, though. But this is a time of God's mercy as well. In wrath, he does remember mercy. The gospel is being preached. I'm telling you, 144,000 Jewish evangelists God raises up in chapter 7, which is still the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And so at this same time, when all these horrific things are taking place, God raised up some preachers, Jewish people. The Bible says they were single. We'll look at that next time. But God gives some information about who these Jewish people are. From the tribes of Israel, they believe on the Messiah. And they go out and they preach throughout the world during this same time the gospel of the kingdom to turn to God. And many are saved through their witness. And we will have to look at that again next time. But God wants us to read, to hear, to keep the things that are written in the book. These are important things that God details that are yet to come. And so, as we've opened 6 horrific seals, we've seen a pretty good taste of the beginning of the tribulation. The second half of the tribulation will actually be worse. It will be much worse. But in wrath, God is giving mercy as well, which is very amazing. What a God. Today, we don't live in the tribulation, although it could start soon. But first, we look for the one to come, the Lord in the clouds, to take us away. For he has not reserved us to wrath, but for salvation. And so we look forward to the return of the Lord in these last days. Are we ready? Are we living for him? Oh, it's so easy to be distracted in this world, to get bogged down with the pressures. But you know what? We must give our attention to God. We must, so that we would be following him, that we would be ready, we would be doing his will. For it is worth it all. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the time we could spend looking over these sobering events yet to come on planet Earth, and some in heaven as well. But Lord, we thank you for this. We pray that you'd give us wisdom and understanding, that you'd help us to live for you in this day, in the opportunities you've given us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.